This is Red Sox Review, and it starts right now. Here's your host, Joe Weil.
Well, Mother Nature held off enough, and the Red Sox delivered in front of the home fans as they win the series finale 4-1 against the San Diego Padres. And now they're 5 games above 500 as they approach an off day and then a 6-game road trip to Miami and New York to take on the New York Yankees. Joe Weil with you. Thanks for joining us on Red Sox Review here on WEI. My man Zach Coe back at WEI manning the ones and twos. We have a lot to get to from today's game as the offense delivers enough in this one. Rafael Devers stays hot, especially going the opposite way. We're going to get into that on our show. Jaron Duran hitting another home run in this one as well for the Red Sox. But the big story on top of those two guys going deep was Josh Winkowski delivering a great outing for the Red Sox. They needed it from a starting perspective with how much this group has struggled in the month of June. And he delivered 5 shutout innings, and he was economical as well and doing a nice job just pouring the ball into the strike zone with 40 of his 58 pitches being strikes. And talk about a guy answering a challenge from this organization. The fact that they sent him down even when his overall numbers in terms of actual production numbers, ERA, weren't that bad before they decided to make this move. He still answered that challenge, approached it the right way, working on his breaking stuff to get, you know, a little bit more of a velocity difference on his pitches and also more horizontal break. And he's answered the bell, and he's done it now in 2 outings. And he was a huge part of this Red Sox 4-1 win. We will replay his post-game conversation with Lou, Joe, and Will. We're also going to hear from Alex Cora. But most importantly, or maybe as importantly, we want to hear from you. 617-779-7937, the number to call in. Again, 617-779-7937. We want to hear how you're feeling after the Red Sox were able to get 1 of 3 here against the Padres and as we continue to approach the trade deadline. I know we're still a month out at this point, but every game is so important. So tell us how you're feeling back home if you're driving from the ballpark. We do want to hear from you. Give you the number one more time. 617-779-7937. Do you feel like Josh Winkowski deserves now to be a part of this rotation full time? That's one of the prompts we are going to be discussing here tonight on the show. But before we go any further, let's hear from Alex Cora and what he had to say after this win.
Yeah, I mean, like, this group, they don't get caught up on that, right? But we needed a good start, and he got good stuff. He was able to go east-west, kind of like a different mix, you know, rely more on Velo than Nick and Tanner. So just make them feel uncomfortable, turn two double plays, I think, you know, and did a good job for 5. The changeup for strikes. I think early on here, he was trying to get chases instead of just executing the pitch, and whatever happens, happens, right? Weak contact or swings and misses. So he did a good job.
How much did that home run around kind of get you guys going a little bit?
I mean, we played from behind the whole series, right? And it was a big deficit. So Abreu put a good at bat, you know. He gets the walk, and then Ruffy hits a homer. We did some good things offensively. It's a different mix. We haven't seen that, you know, in years, I think. And they did a good job just staying with the at-bat and try to hit the ball hard.
You were talking about this the other day, but he's really been locked in for the last week
or so. Yeah, he is. Just on time. His body's moving well. I think tomorrow is great for him, you know, kind of like reset for everybody, right? Just be ready for Tuesday. I believe so, yeah. Probably in the minor leagues they face him, but not here. And I think he's different because he has the sweeper and the cutter, got a good fastball, similar to R.A. Dickey in the beginning, you know, like firm enough that you have to stay on the fastball too. And from the get-go, J.D., you know, talked to the hitters kind of like what he saw in that first at-bat, and they did a good job.
Impressive. Speaking of Duran, just the way he kind of stayed back on the
Yeah, I mean, he's He's been really good, you know. Just another guy that he's going to benefit from tomorrow. And you know, we got a big week coming up, so he'll be ready.
Today's the last day of June. There's all kinds of demarcation points here. Friday is game 81. Where do you think you guys are almost exactly halfway through?
We are a lot better than what people thought. So we'll take that, but at the same time, we need to keep improving. You know, today we didn't turn a routine double play. There were two throws late in the game that were kind of like off. So keep developing these guys to be better. You know, the trading deadline is the trading deadline. The standings are the standings. And yeah, we're going to talk about that, of course, because that's what people want to hear. But at the end, you know, I think we're doing a good job staying in the moment. Not getting too high when we're playing well and not too low when we struggle. The one thing I do believe is that because of the youth and athleticism, we're not going to go through stretches that, you know, it might happen because that's the nature of the game, but losing 5-7 games in a row because on a nightly basis, somebody that is a freak athletic-wise can take over a game and help us win a game.
And other than a couple of games this week, starting pitching has been...
Yeah, that's right? Yeah, that's... We talk about it the last few days, you know, Nola went through it, right? And he showed up the next start and he was good, you know, and the guys are throwing the ball well. Wink, you know, help us today. He might help us next week. You know, there's a good chance he'll make the next start because he earned it. And the bullpen is in a good spot. I got shorts and a shirt and sandals. Yeah, very Miami-like. When I used to go to that 9 a.m. class, the ones I used to, well, I don't know if I went. we'll be comfortable.
All right, so Alex Cora there talking at the end about his return to Miami as this team is about to play the Miami Marlins for a three-game set and in a good mood, as you could tell with the fact that the Red Sox were able to win today by a score of 4-1 against the San Diego Padres. Joe Weil with you here on Red Sox Review. And you can call in 617-779-7937. And a lot of good stuff there from Alex Cora talking about Josh Winkowski, the fact that he has pretty much earned himself another start here. And for good reason, he was really good today. And I want to dive into it more as we progress on the show. And on top of that, talking about the profile of this team, he said, we're a lot better than people thought, which is definitely true. I don't think with the injuries that this roster has had to deal with that we'd expect this team to be 5 games above 500, 83 games into the season. So we're beyond the halfway point. The results are better than the expectations. We know that for a fact. Now the question is, can this team add at the trade deadline? Thought it was interesting, John Henry talking to Alex Cora today in the dugout. That was they showed that on NESN. Thought that was a very interesting thing to be able to see today at the ballpark. And among many things that were fun to see here at Fenway Park today, because the Sox hit a couple home runs, the pitching was good, and this team was able to halt what was a little bit of a troubling stretch that they were blown out in three straight games. First on Tuesday against the Blue Jays, then they were blown out on Friday, and then that was the same deal yesterday. Well, today, they avoid the big inning against them, and they win. And that's the most important thing. They won, they pitched well, and the offense did enough, and it was the key guys delivering, Rafael Devers and Jaron Duran. And, you know, he made a good point, Cora, about the fact that this team had been playing from behind in this series pretty much the entire time. And in this game against Matt Waldron and the knuckleballer, Rafael Devers, he goes deep. It was on a fastball. He hit it out to left field, but then they get the knuckleball in the fifth inning with Jaron Duran hitting a home run. So, again, it's a 4-1 Red Sox victory over the Padres. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll get to the phone lines, and they're starting to roll in. And if you want to join the conversation, you're driving home, feeling good about this team that they won at home, we want to hear from you. 617-779-7937, the number to call in. Your call is coming up next on Red Sox Review here on WEI.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Wise on deck, the pitch to Johnson. He swung on, looped into center field. On comes Rafaela. Dives and makes the catch. A backhand diving catch to save a run and end the fifth inning and make it an official game. Wow.
Closing speed, Joe.
Backhand dive. And, boy, it's danger to land on your wrist and hurt it there. But
he did a nice job of continuing this slide. I didn't think he was going to get it. Softly hit, about to drop. And again, we've seen it many times from him. Actually, the minute it got hit, I think he's going to get this. He's just starting to believe that he's going to cover all that ground. Yeah.
What Zaidan Rafaela can do for you defensively, and he made a great play there, as you just heard the call from Joe Castiglione and Loomer Loney, specific with that audio there. Will Fleming also on the call today, and that play ended the top of the fifth inning, and Joe was alluding to the weather at that point, because that was when the rain started to come down, and we thought, okay, maybe we'll get an official game in, but it's going to be a shortened one. Well, it continued to rain after that, but it wasn't bad enough in that we were able to play a full nine. So we got to see a full nine here at Fenway Park. And then on top of that, the Red Sox win again on Sunday as they take this one 4-1 against the San Diego Padres. Joe Weil with you here on Red Sox Review. The Sox now 13-1 on Sundays. I don't know why that this team is this good on this specific day, but we will enjoy it. We will have fun with it. And the most important thing is that they halted a three-game losing streak, and they did that now heading into a road trip where they're going to be playing a really bad team in the Marlins, and then after that, a really important series against the New York Yankees. We want to hear from you, of course. 617-779-7937 is the number to call in. You can also text us at 37937 as well. My man Zach Coe back at WEI, rocking the one and manning the one and twos right now. As we take you up to 6 p.m., we're going to hear from Josh Winkowski and hear what he had to say to our guys, Joe, Lou, and Will, after the game. And he was really good today as he ends up picking up his second victory of the season with 5 shutout innings, a couple bombs from the offense as well. A lot of fun today, I will say, being here at the ballpark, and that had not been the case the last 3 full games that the Red Sox played. And I love what Alex Cora said at the end when we just played that press conference and what he said after the win. We're a lot better than people thought. Now the question is, how do they continue to play? And on top of that, do they add at the trading deadline? And that'll be a part of our discussion today. And with that, let's go to the phones for the first time today, because we have a couple people chiming in that want to talk MLB trade deadline. And Kevin from Billerica, he kicks us off.
All right, Joe. I'm glad I called first.
Yes.
But, you know, what a relief it was to get this win today. And, you know, this team is still flawed. And we need to do some at the trade deadline, and I would like a starting pitcher. And then I hear other people saying we need a right-handed bat. And then after the post-game show, you were mentioned about the Houston Astros being 500. Look at the L.A. Angels. They're 500, too. So you got Kansas City in front of you, and you got 2 other teams right on your heels. So, and it's not even the All-Star break yet. So what do you think is going to happen with that?
Yeah, and that is the question right now, Kevin, and appreciate you chiming in as we get things started here from a caller perspective on Red Sox Review. Great to hear from Kevin there. And if you want to grab his line, we want to hear from you. This is the part of the show where you get to chime in, be a part of the conversation, 617-779-7937. So a couple of things there that Kevin touched on, and just to amend something that he said, is that, and that the Angels are 500. The Angels, let me go back to the standings because I just had it up. They're actually 36-46. They have won 6 in a row, but they're still pretty far away from 500. A team that is 500, and maybe this is who Kevin was trying to refer to, is the Tampa Bay Rays. So right now they sit 2.5 games back of the Red Sox, who are a game and a half out of that third wild card spot held by the Royals. But Lou's brought this up, and I think it's a great point about you worry about the teams in front, but you also have to now worry about the teams behind, like the Astros, like the Rays, and maybe if the Blue Jays get hot in the immediate future, maybe that's another team you have to get concerned about. And of course, the Rangers, too. Just in looking at the standings, you forget about what a dreadful season that they've had after winning the championship. They're 37-46. They've lost 6 in a row as well, and they're about to take on the Baltimore Orioles today. But what Kevin mentioned, I think, is key. The needs for this team right now, it is a starting pitcher. It is a right-handed bat, because that's what this lineup is missing. And today was kind of a funky lineup, because you were going up against Matt Waldron, who if you look at the splits, it was so heavily in favor of left-handed batters, and it's because, and Lou did a great job highlighting this in our pregame show about the sweeper and how that's been an effective pitch, an extremely effective pitch against right-handed hitters coming into today's game, and then left-handed hitters had mashed that pitch. So Cora very smartly putting eight left-handed batters at the top of the lineup, and then Sadon Raffaello rounding it out, the lone right-handed batter, and they deliver. As you know, again, Devers goes deep in the first inning, Duran in the fifth, and then they scratch out a run in the third inning as well. But they could use some more right-handed, you know, right-handed balance to this lineup, I think. And then on top of that, and we'll see how Josh Winkowski continues to progress here, because today he was good, and I give him so much credit because he wanted to be in the rotation in spring training. He didn't win a spot, so then he goes to the bullpen, and then I just hit on this a little bit before, but the results, you know, if you just look at ERA and runs allowed, it wasn't atrocious, but the Red Sox, and I give the organization a ton of credit for this too, the organization realized, yes, he's not giving up a ton of runs, quote-unquote, as it's related to his ERA. Because you have to remember, his ERA was at 3.33 before when they sent him down. But there was a lot of hard-hit balls against him. There wasn't a lot of, you know, changes in his arsenal in terms of, you know, what people were seeing from a velocity standpoint. Batters were seeing in the box. Velocity standpoint and in terms of movement, everything looked relatively the same. And the Red Sox, to their credit, realized, okay, let's send him down. We have enough at the big league level to be able to mitigate this. And let's stretch him out and also have him work on his breaking stuff. And he's looked like a better pitcher since being back. Now, there was only three swing and misses today, all of which came on the slider, but that's a key pitch for him because that was sitting at 87 miles per hour before he went down, and now it's at 83, and there's more horizontal break, and it's been a nice pitch for him. So I still think that this team could add a starter, and especially from a depth perspective, because really at this point you just have Cooper Criswell as your depth, and it's always nice to have more, and if this team it wants to be even more serious about competing for a wild card spot, that's definitely an area of need, and especially with other guys, you know, starting to show, I don't want to even say signs of fatigue, although that could be it, but I think more so that they're just not as consistent as they've been. We've gone through the conversation with Brian Baio and what kind of pitcher he's been, and then on top of that, you also have, you know, Tanner Houck. He's about to hit his innings high in his professional career coming up in a little bit. And you add on to that conversation Nick Pivetta, the way he struggled as well. So, again, there's a lot to hit on and more that this team could do to bolster its roster. And at the same time, they're doing a nice job, you know, with what they have. Five games above 500, and again, a 4-1 win today over the Padres. Let's continue to roll along with some calls. Let's go to Mark in Milford. He also wants to talk about the trade deadline. Hello, Mark.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for taking my call here. Went to the game today. Great win. Good way to kick off a road trip there. And, you know, there's a couple points, two quick points I wanted to make on the Sox and the trade deadline. So, for one, I think at this point, you know, ownership should look into, and I guess maybe owes it to the Sox fans, to look into trading some of the young talent that we have down the farm system. I know everyone gets hung up on keeping these guys, but I think if we can add a good right-handed bat at the trade deadline, I think we should go do it. And, you know, I'm hoping that with Cora not so subtly, you know, expressing his feelings about ownership and the trade deadline mixed in with the Celtics winning a championship and seeing how parades look in Boston again, I'm hoping that gives ownership a little nudge to maybe do something different this year.
Yeah, Mark, I'd appreciate you chiming in there, and especially that last point about, you know, the nudge from Alex Cora about how this team has performed, and really, I thought it was, again, at the time, I thought it was awesome to hear him say, you know, we're not even trying to settle for a wild card spot. We want to get a little greedy, you know, and he was alluding to at the time the Yankees and the way that they had been struggling. They did win today, although they still haven't had really a great stretch recently. But, you know, again, this team has done a really impressive job with the guys that they have, the young players that have developed, and the fact that you have one of the best coaching staffs in baseball to get to the point that they're at right now, where they're a game and a half out of a wild card spot. You know, the Twins and Royals, they've turned out to be actually pretty solid teams, but it's not as if this team couldn't get one of them, but I think they do need to have a little bit more than what they have right now. Now, they'll get that at some point, hopefully, we'll knock on wood, you know, with Tristan Casas, although that's now not until after the trade deadline, and you almost wonder if it's going to be until August at this point with Casas, and then, you know, Liam Hendricks, maybe that's another addition that this team could have. But they also have to, you know, bolster a case, right, to add, because if this team trends in a different direction, or, you know, the front office decides, okay, that this team isn't worth investing in, then they're going to trade off pieces like a Kenley Jansen or a Chris Martin. And by the way, both those guys look good today, and especially Kenley Jansen. I mean, you know, it looked concerning at the beginning of the year with Kenley Jansen, and now he's just in cruise control. Like, he's been really good, and I think he deserves, honestly, you know, a lot of love for what he's been able to do. Since April 20th, he's 12 for 12 in save opportunities, and he struck out 24 and 21 in two-thirds innings. So he's been awesome, and he's a great guy to have at the back end, and he wants to win, too. And that's the thing. These guys want to win. They're playing their butts off, too. I mean, like, that's been the most fun part of this, in my opinion, is the fact that these guys have just competed. And it's not as if they're, you know, again, they're not winning every day. They had a stretch here recently where they've been blown out in a couple games. But it's never lack of effort. It's a fun group. Their brand of baseball is fun as well. And hopefully this is a team that can be playing meaningful baseball into September. And Alex Cora clearly is hoping for that. And again, when you have him at the top, that helps so many different things. And he has been such a he's done such a great job with this group in a way that I think you could even make an argument that this is his best managerial season. Now, of course, you have 2018. You have 2021. You know, you have the really until things kind of fell apart in August of last year. But this has been really impressive. And again, he's got a lot of incentive to be as good as he is. He's in the final year of his deal, but he's always that way. And that's what I love about Alex Cora and watching him manage his team and the way he's able to leverage this team into winning situations pretty much game in, game out, unless the game dictates what it is. You know, like yesterday where you have Dom Smith pitching. But in the end, they win today, 4-1 the final. They get the series finale. The Sox close out the month of June with a 15-10 record. We still have a ways to go here on Red Sox Review. We're going to take you up to 6 p.m. We want to hear from you, 617-779-7937. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with more in your phone calls right after this on WEEI.
Everything Boston Red Sox. This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Jansen, one save behind Kimbrel for fifth on the all-time list. The pitch. Swing and a fly ball left center field toward the gap. Over goes Rafaela. He's there and makes the catch. Ball game over. Kenley has an easy 1-2-3 ninth for his 436th career save. The Red Sox end the three-game losing streak, and they end the Padres' five-game win streak. The final, Boston 4 and San Diego 1. What a miracle. We finished it without a rain delay.
Jansen wrapping things up as the Red Sox end up winning it 4-1 against the San Diego Padres. And how about Kenley Jansen? He's now tied for fifth in Major League Baseball history in saves with 436. He's one behind Francisco Rodriguez, by the way. So his next save will have him tied for fourth. And then when he gets, you know, he's at two more saves from now, he'll have sole possession of fourth place. So credit to Kenley Jansen, who's been really good in the back end of the bullpen. And credit to this Red Sox team for pulling out a victory after three blowout losses. And now they're five games above 500, and they take this one 4-1 against the San Diego Padres. Joe Weil with you on Red Sox Review. And coming up in the program, we're going to replay Josh Winkowski's conversation with our three-man booth of Will Fleming, Joe Castiglione, and also Lou Merlone after he had a great performance today today of 5 shutout innings. So we'll get some insight into his outing and how he was able to deliver a W for this Red Sox team that definitely needed it coming up into this upcoming road trip. And Mike from Connecticut, he wants to chime in about this upcoming road trip that the Sox have. 617-779-7937 is the number to call in. Again, 617-779-7937 is the number to dial in. But let's go to Mike from Connecticut. Hello, Mike. Mike, I'm having trouble hearing you, just as a heads up. Sounds like you're underwater. I don't know if there's a way you could fix that, Mike, before we how about now?
How about now?
Oh, we're okay, now we're in business.
Okay, Joe. I was wondering if I could change gears instead of talking about the road trip. Here's the keys. Now, you know and I know, Joe, the Red Sox have the money and the resources to make a trade if they really want to compete. But there's a couple players that I think are really going to help the team. When Cass has come back, it's a different team. And if Hendricks is ever healthy, then the bullpen looks really good. And for as a right-handed bat, I would love to see him bring York up. I mean, the kid's just a natural hitter. But you know my pet peeve, Joe, is this Yoshida thing. I mean, the best he – I know they can't get rid of him with that contract, and he's just a DH with no power, but he's got to be nothing but a platoon player, Joe. What do you think about this?
Yeah, and I appreciate you chiming in there, Mike, and I want to hit on a couple things that you brought up. You don't hear a lot of callers, by the way, bring up Nick York. I mean, most guys want to talk about Marcelo Meyer, Roman Anthony, Kyle Teal, and as of late, Christian Campbell. But, you know, as Mike brought up with Nick York, and we'll hit on that first, and then I want to get to Yoshida there in a moment. He has been swinging it really well in AAA. So he's got a 929 OPS coming into today's action, 20 games, and he's hit a couple home runs as well. And York, if you don't know who he is, he was a first-round pick by the Red Sox, taken 17th overall in 2020, and he's steadily climbed, you know, the Red Sox ranks. But I think his shine, maybe because he's been in this system for so long, it's not as shiny as the other guys. And I think the other part of it is honestly, as the other guys have shown right now, they're better players at this point. But York has been swinging it pretty well. I just don't know if he's going to be the answer to the right-handed bat part of the equation that we're talking about. I mean, you have to think about how difficult it is for a lot of these guys to adapt to major league pitching, right? And it's such a sharp contrast between minor league pitching, right? And so it's not me dismissing Nick York coming up here at all at any point this year. It's more me dismissing the idea that this guy is going to be the difference-making bat that everybody's hoping that the Red Sox get at the trading deadline. So that's the big point. Now, Mike also brings up Masataka Yoshida. I hit on this yesterday. You know, the problem with Yoshida, the fact that he doesn't give you much defensively, he showed that last year. He hasn't had a chance to play outfield, you know, this year all that much. And I know that's something that he's wanted to do. I mean, he talked about it on the record that he wished he could play more outfield. But they need him to hit. Now, I don't think they need him to be a power hitter, but they need him to be a productive hitter. And it was nice to see him today at the plate. I thought he actually had a pretty good day at the plate. He went 2-for-4, a couple of hard hit balls, and he did strike out in his first at bat. It was on a brutal pitch. And then in the eighth inning, he flied out to center field. 2-for-4 type games from Yoshida. That's productivity from the designated hitter spot, and that's how you can salvage him being on this team, because they do need him to hit because of the fact that he doesn't provide defensive value and because he's not quick. They need that bat to be there. And if it's not, then that $18 million deal, you know, which is now has 3 years more on the hook after this year, that becomes more of a problem. And, you know, it becomes more justified if he can just swing it. But It hasn't happened consistently. Now, the problem is, and I want to hit on this last note before we have to get to Zach with what's trending, you know, he was swinging it well right before he hit the IL. And now, since he's been off the IL, he has a 174 average. They need to get him back to that version prior to the IL where he's starting to see the ball really well. But again, the Red Sox win 4-1 against the San Diego Padres tonight. And let's go to our man, Zach Coe, who has what's trending here on WEI.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Red Sox salvaged the final game of the series against the San Diego Padres this afternoon at Fenway Park, defeating them by a final score of 4-1. Rafael Devers got things going early with a two-run home run in the first inning, his 18th of the year. Josh Winkowski got the start for the Sox, going 5 shutout innings, allowing just 4 hits, striking out 1. They'll have an off day tomorrow before heading down to Miami for a 3-game series with the Marlins. They'll be back in action on Tuesday night, Cutter Crawford taking the mound opposite Valente Belazo for Miami. First pitch scheduled for 6:40 p.m. Don't forget, you can hear our coverage of that game on the Shaw's and Star Market WEI Red Sox Radio Network starting at 5:40 with Rich Keefe on the Mass Mutual pregame show. Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh. NBA free agency opens up tonight at 6 p.m. LeBron James, Paul George, and James Harden, a few of the big names that could be looking to join new teams once free agency opens up. Again, that's at 6 p.m. tonight. The NHL draft wrapped up yesterday from the Sphere in Las Vegas. In total, the Bruins made 4 picks. Those players were center Dean Letourneau, defenseman Elliot Gronewald, forward Jonathan Morello, and defenseman Loke Johansson. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Red Sox review coming up after this.
Everything Boston Red Sox. This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
The Red Sox take it 4-1 against the Padres today. Joe Wild with you here at Fenway Park. Nobody's here, at least in the press box right now. And I just see the big, beautiful tarp out on the field. To make sure the field is A-OK. That L.L. Bean tarp, that is magnificent. It really is. And thankfully, we didn't have to bring it out at all today. It looked like this game was going to have to be halted, or maybe we'd have a shortened game just overall because of the rain. But no, we played the full 9. And that was awesome. Because, you know, it's fun when you get to do that. We had that one game get suspended back on Wednesday, and then there was a lot of time without baseball, and then the Red Sox finally got back at it on Friday. But today, it was fun to see the full 9 because we really got to see the whole gamut here from the Sox, offensively hitting a couple home runs, Rafael Devers going deep, Jaron Duran hitting a home run as well, and then the pitching was really good today. The bullpen...
Everything Boston Red Sox. This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Jansen, one save behind Kimbrel for fifth on the all-time list. The pitch. Swing and a fly ball left center field toward the gap. Over goes Rafaela. He's there and makes the catch. Ball game over. Kenley has an easy 1-2-3 ninth for his 436th career save. The Red Sox end the 3-game losing streak, and they end the Padres' 5-game win streak. The final, Boston 4 and San Diego 1. And what a miracle. We finished it without a rain delay.
Jansen wrapping things up as the Red Sox end up winning it 4-1 against the San Diego Padres. And how about Kenley Jansen? He's now tied for 5th in Major League Baseball history in saves with 436. He's one behind Francisco Rodriguez, by the way. So his next save will have him tied for 4th. And then when he gets, you know, he's at 2 more saves from now, he'll have sole possession of 4th place. So credit to Kenley Jansen, who's been really good in the back end of the bullpen. And credit to this Red Sox team for pulling out a victory after 3 blowout losses. And now they're 5 games above 500, and they take this one 4-1 against the San Diego Padres. Joe Weil with you on Red Sox Review. And coming up in the program, we're going to replay Josh Winkowski's conversation with our three-man booth of Will Fleming, Joe Castiglione, and also Lou Merlone after he had a great performance today today of 5 shutout innings. So we'll get some insight into his outing and how he was able to deliver a W for this Red Sox team that definitely needed it coming up into this upcoming road trip. And Mike from Connecticut, he wants to chime in about this upcoming road trip that the Sox have. 617-779-7937 is the number to call in. Again, 617-779-7937 is the number to dial in. But let's go to Mike from Connecticut. Hello, Mike. Mike, I'm having trouble hearing you, just as a heads up. Sounds like you're underwater. I don't know if there's a way you could fix that, Mike, before we... How about now?
How about now?
Oh, now we're in business.
Okay, Joe. I was wondering if I could change gears instead of talking about the road trip. Here's the keys. Now, you know and I know, Joe, the Red Sox have the money and the resources to make a trade if they really want to compete. But there's a couple players that I think are really going to help the team. When Cass has come back, it's a different team. And if Hendricks is ever healthy, then the bullpen looks really good. And for as a right-handed bat, I would love to see him bring York up. I mean, the kid's just a natural hitter. But you know my pet peeve, Joe, with this Yoshida thing. I mean, the best I know they can't get rid of him with that contract, and he's just a DH with no power. But he's got to be nothing but a platoon player, Joe. What do you think about this?
Yeah, and I appreciate you chiming in there, Mike, and I want to hit on a couple things that you brought up. You don't hear a lot of callers, by the way, bring up Nick York. I mean, most guys want to talk about Marcelo Meyer, Roman Anthony, Kyle Teal, and as of late, Christian Campbell. But, you know, as Mike brought up with Nick York, and we'll hit on that first, and then I want to get to Yoshida there in a moment. He has been swinging it really well in AAA. So he's got a 929 OPS coming into today's action, 20 games, and he's hit a couple home runs as well. And York, if you don't know who he is, he was a first-round pick by the Red Sox, taken 17th overall in 2020. And he steadily climbed, you know, the Red Sox ranks. But I think his shine, maybe because he's been in this system for so long, it's not as shiny as the other guys. And I think the other part of it is honestly, as the other guys have shown right now, they're better players at this point. But York has been swinging it pretty well. I just don't know if he's going to be the answer to the right-handed bat part of the equation that we're talking about. I mean, you have to think about how difficult it is for a lot of these guys to adapt to major league pitching, right? And it's such a sharp contrast between minor league pitching, right? And so it's not me dismissing Nick York coming up here at all at any point this year. It's more me dismissing the idea that this guy is going to be the difference-making bat that everybody's hoping that the Red Sox get at the trading deadline. So that's the big point. Now, Mike also brings up Masataka Yoshida. I hit on this yesterday. You know, the problem with Yoshida, the fact that he doesn't give you much defensively, he showed that last year. He hasn't had a chance to play outfield, you know, this year all that much. And I know that's something that he's wanted to do. I mean, he talked about it on the record that he wished he could play more outfield. But they need him to hit. Now, I don't think they need him to be a power hitter, but they need him to be a productive hitter, and it was nice to see him today at the plate. I thought he actually had a pretty good day at the plate. He went 2-for-4, a couple of hard-hit balls, and while he did strike out in his first at-bat, it was on a brutal pitch, and then in the eighth inning, he flied out to center field. 2-for-4 type games from Yoshida. That's productivity from the designated hitter spot, and that's how you can salvage him being on this team, because they do need him to hit because of the fact that he doesn't provide defensive value and because he's not quick. They need that bat to be there, and if it's not, then that $18 million deal, you know, which is now has 3 years more on the hook after this year, that becomes more of a problem. And you know, it becomes more justified if he can just swing it, but it hasn't happened consistently. Now, the problem is, and I want to hit on this last note before we have to get to Zach with what's trending, you know, he was swinging it well right before he hit the IL. And now since he's been off the IL, he has a 174 average. They need to get him back to that version prior to the IL where he's starting to see the ball really well. But again, the Red Sox win 4-1 against the San Diego Padres tonight. And let's go to our man, Zach Coe, who has what's trending here on WEI.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Red Sox salvaged the final game of the series against the San Diego Padres this afternoon at Fenway Park, defeating them by a final score of 4-1. Rafael Devers got things going early with a two-run home run in the first inning, his 18th of the year. Josh Winkowski got the start for the Sox, going five shutout innings, allowing just four hits, striking out one. They'll have an off day tomorrow before heading down to Miami for a three-game series with the Marlins. They'll be back in action on Tuesday night, Cutter Crawford taking the mound opposite Valente Belazo for Miami. First pitch scheduled for 6:40 p.m. Don't forget, you can hear our coverage of that game on the Shaw's and Star Market WEI Red Sox Radio Network starting at 5:40 with Rich Keefe on the Mass Mutual pregame show. Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh. NBA free agency opens up tonight at 6 p.m. LeBron James, Paul George, and James Harden, a few of the big names that could be looking to join new teams once free agency opens up. Again, that's at 6 p.m. tonight. The NHL draft wrapped up yesterday from the Sphere in Las Vegas. In total, the Bruins made four picks. Those players were center Dean Letourneau, defenseman Elliot Grönwald, forward Jonathan Morello, and defenseman Loke Johansson. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Red Sox review coming up after this.
Everything Boston Red Sox. This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
The Red Sox take it 4-1 against the Padres today. Joe Weil with you here at Fenway Park. Nobody's here, at least in the press box right now. And I just see the big, beautiful tarp out in the field. To make sure the field is A-okay. That LL Bean tarp, that is magnificent. It really is. And thankfully, we didn't have to bring it out at all today. It looked like this game was going to have to be halted, or maybe we'd have a shortened game just overall because of the rain. But no, we played the full nine. And that was awesome because, you know, it's fun when you get to do that. We had that one game get suspended back on Wednesday, and then there was a lot of time without baseball, and then the Red Sox finally got back at it on Friday. But today, it was fun to see the full nine because we really got to see the whole gamut here from the Sox, offensively hitting a couple home runs, Rafael Devers going deep, Jaron Duran hitting a home run as well, and then the pitching was really good today. The bullpen's been very solid. And it took me looking up the numbers to realize just how good they've been, you know, the bullpen arms, because they really have been steady, you know, this entire season. In a way, I feel like we don't give them their flowers as much as we have at times for the starting rotation. But they're top 10 in so many important categories, like home runs per nine, but more importantly, ERA and FIP, if you're into that. You know, ERA wise, they're eighth best in the sport, and then FIP, they're third best, and then they've thrown a lot of innings too. They've thrown the eighth most innings in the sport coming into today's game, and by the way, the numbers I mentioned before, that's prior to today's action. But they've been really good. They also don't walk a lot of guys. They have the best walks per nine rate in the sport, and credit the staff because no walks at all today from them. Right? They only strike out four, and that's part of the Winkowski conversation that, you know, we may be bringing up again. The fact that he tossed five innings and didn't, you know, he only had one strikeout and that came in the first inning. But he also pitched really well. And I think the key was a lot of weak contact and the use of the slider was also huge. And he had a chance to catch up with Joe Castiglione, Will Fleming, and Lou Maloney after the game. And here's what he had to say.
Red Sox winning at 4-1. With us is the winning pitcher, Josh Winkowski. He went five shutout innings, and Josh, you really mixed it up well and got the big double play balls. You were really on top of the game today, huh?
Yeah, I was feeling good. You know, feel like I was locating stuff pretty well, mixing it up, like you said, kind of using all five pitches. Really liked the game Reese called back there. He did a great job.
You know, the slider sweeper is breaking more than ever, Josh, and this Padre lineup, I'm sure you were paying close attention after you gave the Red Sox such a lift out of the bullpen the other day. You know, six awesome innings that day to save the bullpen, and here you get to start against this team. You're always confident, but you had to know coming in here that this Padre offense is really in a groove. What was your mindset going into the start?
Yeah, they've definitely got a deep lineup over there, and we've had some guys throwing the ball exceptional, and had a couple rough days. But just wanted to come in today and keep the team in it and give them a chance. And sweeper slider thing has been way better. That was kind of the main focus down in AAA, and really excited to see it producing results.
Well, it's always disappointing when a player gets sent down to AAA, but you made the most of it. You must feel that the benefits that you've received, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough for a few days, but you can either kind of go down there and sulk and not get better, or you can go down there and kind of get with the coaches down there, and they got an excellent group down there, and you can work on some things. Even last year we kind of knew the slider cutter were kind of the same pitch at times, so we were working on it in the off season, kind of found some stuff that clicked down there, and it's been awesome.
You know, Josh, I think you have a really interesting perspective to offer on this group as it is right now, because you were here last year. Now young players are kind of driving the train. I mean, Raffy, he did it again today, but Duran and Sadon and Willier and all the Hamilton, the young kids are really kind of taking this team by storm. You know, you were here at the beginning. You went down to AAA. Can you tell us, what the feel is, just kind of comparing the first few weeks of the season to what it is now?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're seeing guys kind of catch their stride. I had to do it myself. The game when you can first come up is extremely, extremely difficult, and you can't underestimate how hard it is. Even kind of the difference between 22 and 23 for me was kind of just knowing more and kind of being more comfortable in my own skin. So I think you've seen those guys get the necessary reps and are starting to, day-to-day understand what they need to do, and you're seeing them play at a really, really high level. And it was, even being down in AAA, it was really exciting watching this team from afar, and it's even more of a pleasure being back up here.
Well, you went the six innings in long relief last time, five as a starter today without a run scoring. What do you think about staying in the rotation?
I obviously haven't had that conversation yet. Wherever AC needs me is where, I'll attack it at, whatever that, what's best for the team. It was a pleasure kind of helping save the bullpen the other day. And then, getting the start today was obviously an honor.
Well, you did it very well, Josh. Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, that's really insightful stuff from Josh Winkowski, and that was great great stuff there from our crew talking to him. And I love the honesty, and what's making me a huge Josh Winkowski fan, and we do want to hear from you, by the way. We still have about 30 minutes left in the program. 617-779-7937, the number to call in here for Red Sox Review, as the Sox won it 4-1 today against the San Diego Padres. What I love the most is that here is a pitcher that had a good season last year and, was disappointed he didn't make the rotation. And then on top of that, while he said, I could have sulked about it when I got sent down to Worcester, and maybe the first couple days it was an adjustment going back down there. Instead of continuing to possibly sulk about it, he went to work and he made his arsenal better. And this organization, I mean, I know there's a lot you can get upset about with the Red Sox right now, right? And we'll see how that conversation continues, by the time we hit the trade deadline. I do think you have a very smart infrastructure from a front office perspective, and especially about pitching, with Craig Breslow at the top, and then you have somebody here at this level that is as smart as Andrew Bailey is. And to be able to deduce with Winkowski, hey, some of his stuff is a little too similar. That slider cutter mix there. I mixed them both right there, but that mix right was just too similar. The pitches were too similar, and that there needed to be a change because the results kind of bore that out, right? Because he was getting hit pretty hard, and the underlying under-the-hood metrics were telling you that, yeah, the ERA looks fine, but there's a lot to be worried about right now. And again, he went down there and went to work and added more horizontal break on that slider, took some miles per hour off of it as well. And Alex Cora said it in his postgame presser as well, the importance of the changeup and actually throwing that pitch for a strike, because, you know, that had been an issue for him this year. Like, coming into this outing, batters hitting 364 against that changeup. It had been a pitch that really had not been useful for him, and it's not one that he threw a ton last year. He threw it about 6% of the time, but hitters were 154 against it. This year, about 14% of the time he threw that pitch, and again, they were hitting 364 against that pitch, and that's now better as well. And it's that difference in velocity that's really key, you know, for a guy like Winkowski, because, you know, if you're throwing 87 with the slider, and you know your cutter is only a little bit more than that, and again they profile as the same pitch, batters aren't having to adjust all that much because it's almost the same thing. So when you're looking horizontally, and then on top of that, from a velocity standpoint, when things are pretty similar, it becomes not as hard to hit. And it's a credit to Winkowski, the fact that he's been able to change his arsenal a little bit here to become a more effective pitcher. And here's a reality, too. He could stick in this rotation, you know, especially here for the month of July, you know, because of where this is at right now. You're at a really tough point with Brian Bello. You're at also a tough point, you know, maybe not in the same way with Nick Pivetta, you know, but they clearly made a decision with sending Cooper Criswell down. And again, it's not as if Cooper Criswell was bad, because he wasn't bad. And I think you still got a pretty good return out of investment out of him for $1 million. But this team clearly realized we can do a little bit better than what he's giving us. And Winkowski, with the work he put down or did in AAA, is now very clearly paying off, at least through the first two starts. And if we're going to just also give you a little bit of a caveat to all this, he did only have one strikeout. And that was the big thing. The swing and misses weren't there, you know, when they sent him down. And it still wasn't quite there today, but at least he got the swing and misses on the pitch that is clearly now the difference maker in a way, which is that slider, because he got three swing and misses on that pitch. So he might be here to stay for this rotation moving forward. And if he can continue to give the Sox an outing like he did today, they're going to be at least in a pretty good spot for that quote-unquote fifth rotation spot. Now, this series coming up, you know, against the Marlins is going to be very interesting, because we'll get more answers about this rotation with the three guys, most specifically, that are going to be pitching in that series, with Cutter Crawford and Brian Bello and Nick Pivetta, and I think those latter two most specifically. And I think the forefront concern right now is Brian Bello, with the way he's struggled and the way he's pitched, you know, in recent games here and his overall ERA. I mean, it'd be hard to believe after the extension that he signed in the offseason that at this point in the year he'd have an ERA of north of 5.5. That has to change. And the body language needs to change and all that stuff for this team to get where they want to go, which is having meaningful games in September and then, you know, actually making the playoffs. Because they're in contention for doing that. Both of those things, where they're at right now. But one thing that led this team to this point was really good starting pitching, and that's fallen off a lot since about mid-May. And now it's time for those things to get back on track, that specific part of this team. And maybe it's an addition at the trade deadline. You know, again, we've talked about it, and you've chimed in about it. And if you want to chime in, 617-779-7937. But that's part of the equation. And it'll be telling if the three starters, you know, specifically with Bello especially, if they struggle against Miami, this team might be in more trouble than we'd realize, because this Miami team is not good. I mean, that's putting it pretty fairly. I would have to say 30-54 is not good. They have a negative 126 run differential as well, and the Marlins are they're as bad can be this year if you're not the Chicago White Sox. or the Oakland A's, who have really fallen off as of late, but they've scored the second most runs, this being the Marlins, in all of Major League Baseball. And so if this isn't a series in which the Sox, from a starting perspective, can take advantage of that, then the rotation at large might be in some trouble. you know, as we approach the trade deadline. And again, you worry about workloads and all that stuff, you know, with all these guys that are still pretty young, because you don't have that quote unquote, you know, established anchor at the top. Now, I think Tanner Houck is an all-star. I think he's had a remarkable season. I have thoroughly enjoyed watching him pitch this year, outside of his start yesterday, but I think everybody's allowed to have a bad start like Houck did because he's been that good for this team. The thing that concerns me, though, about him being your quote-unquote ace, and I said this yesterday, is that workload part of it. Now you're banking on this guy to be the top of the line rotation guy the entire year when he's at this point from an innings perspective that he's about to get to that's more than he's pitched in his professional career. And that's the downside of having quote-unquote unestablished starters at the beginning of the year and not having that key horse at the top that has been there, done that, and given you long, you know, a lot of innings throughout a long season. So that's something to watch moving forward. Now, I want to hit on something that is a huge positive for this team before we have to get to our next break here. And again, 617-779-7937, the number to chime in if you'd like to. And before we wrap up the program, I have two things I want to hit on as well, by the way. Matt Waldron had a chance to speak after this game about Tim Wakefield, and if you didn't get a chance to catch up on that story. So Matt Waldron, he was a starter today and a knuckleball pitcher, and he got some great expertise from Tim Wakefield back when he was in A-ball within this Padres organization. Tim Wakefield was kind enough to do a Zoom call with him and talk to him for about 2 hours about pitching with the knuckleball, and then was a guy that followed up with him as well, this being Waldron. Wakefield following up with Waldron, watching his starts, giving him some feedback and all that stuff, and had a huge impact on Matt Waldron's life now as a knuckleballer here in the major leagues. And before this started, by the way, had done really well, and it's a testament to the Red Sox offense that they were able to bounce back today when in his last 8 starts he had a 1.80 ERA. But that, to me, and that story is kind of doesn't and encapsulates what makes Tim Wakefield just so special as a human being. And we're going to hit on that again before we duck out here for Red Sox Review. And then I have one Xander Bogaerts comment as well, because it was interesting what he did after the game. And I'll tease you with that before we go back to the phone lines here, as we have Dan from Dover who wants to chime in about this upcoming series that the Red Sox will play. So, Dan, the floor is yours. Thanks for joining us on Red Sox Review.
Yeah, good afternoon. How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, so with the upcoming series, you know, things like teams like the Marlins scare me, because the Red Sox, they tend to play down to their competition, but they also play up to their competition. You know, I think back to the Philly series and the Yankee series where they were back-to-back, and I believe they took 2 out of 3 out of both series. So, you know, a series with the Marlins does scare me. So I don't know if you kind of felt the same way, or I'd like to, you know, hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, and appreciate the call. So it's an interesting take there, because, and I'll explain why in a second. So that's interesting to me, because the Red Sox this year compared to last year, they've actually taken care of teams that are below 500. So if you include today's game, the Sox are 18-28 now against teams above 500, and that is true. Now, Dan brought up the series against the Yankees and Phillies, and those were so key for this season at large, right? And I was hitting on it with postgame shows last week. That was such a pivotal time period in this season, because they could have gone south, because they were below 500 in that middle match of the series against the Phillies, and then they bounce back and win that game, and then they end up having a 4-2 homestand against, at that time, the two best teams in Major League Baseball. I actually do think this year's team has done a good job of not playing down to their competition. And that stat that I just rattled off, that they're 18-28, you know, against teams that are above 500, you do the math on it, against teams below 500, they're actually 26-11. So they have taken care of those bad teams for the most part this season. So I actually do feel pretty good about this team going into that Marlins series. And I actually feel pretty good about this team going against the Yankees as well, because the Yankees are record-wise a better team. But I think what helps the Red Sox is that they have such an advantage in their dugout from a managerial perspective with Alex Cora. And then on top of that, as we found out about this Yankees team when they came to town, they are so top heavy. Now, Juan Soto didn't play again today, and who knows, maybe he won't even be available for that series. Yes, Aaron Judge is incredible, and he's actually right now in line for the Triple Crown. He leads Major League Baseball in average home runs and RBIs. But outside of him, there's not a ton there, at least from what they've shown consistently this year. So I actually do feel good about both these series coming up for the Red Sox on the road. But they have to get the job done. I mean, that's the key thing. And hopefully they don't revert back to that season or that team, you know, last year that didn't do well against teams below 500. So we'll see. But it's something obviously we have to monitor, and they need to take care of business against the bad teams. They're not in a position to not do that with them trying to fight for a wild card spot. What I did want to hit on right before we go to our next break here is Rafael Devers, who hits his fourth home run in his last five games, five home runs now into the monster seats, and he's now hit 18 home runs overall this year, eight of which to the opposite field. And the numbers for him to the opposite field coming into today are absolutely remarkable. He's got a slugging percentage over 1,100, right? Or 1.1. He's got an OPS over 1,600 going the opposite way. And now he's got eight home runs hitting it that direction. And as these guys have talked about a ton with Devers, when he's going that way, that's how you know he's in a groove. And so he now has 600 career RBIs, the most RBIs in Red Sox history at the age of 27 or younger. It's Jim Rice at the top, and then Ted Williams in the number two position. Devers is in that number four spot ahead of Carl Yastrzemski. This is an all-time Red Sox talent that we are getting to watch. And sometimes, and I'll include myself in this, I feel like we take him a little bit for granted because the offensive part of it is so the norm at this point with Devers. And he's putting up his best season of his career. And that's the fun part of the conversation this year, is that I don't think among all the questions that you could have, the amount of money that the Red Sox spent on Devers to extend him, that's a good deal. You make that deal 10 times out of 10, at least in my mind. And yes, defensively at third base, he's never going to be Brooks Robinson. He's never going to be Matt Chapman or Nolan Arenado. But he is an elite of elite hitter, and that's why you sign up for somebody like that long term. He's got the best on-base percentage of his career right now. Best slugging percentage. Average-wise, not the best, but again, he ends up hitting a home run today. He ends up going 2-for-4 and smoking a couple balls as well. That on-base percentage part of it, to me, is key. That his walk rate is above 10% for the first time in his career. And actually, coming into today, it was at 11.7. His best before that was last year at 9.5. This is in his prime hitter, hitting the cover off the ball in an era where hitting is so difficult and you have this guy locked up long term. Embrace it. Enjoy it. Because he still has so much of his career left. He's only 27. Remember that part too. He's only 27, and if he can stay healthy, he's going to have his best year of his career. And he's a part of a 4-1 win for the Red Sox today. Against the San Diego Padres, Joe Weil with you. We're going to wrap things up on Red Sox Review right after this on WEEI.
We're back to Red Sox Review on WEEI.
All right, back here on Red Sox Review, Joe Weil at Fenway Park as we wrap things up. And the Red Sox, a 4-1 winner today against the San Diego Padres. Wanted to hit on a couple things before we have to duck out here, and we will be playing Sunday Night Baseball coming up here on WEEI. But I wanted to hit on two different Padres-related things that are intertwined with the Red Sox. The first of which, Matt Waldron, and it was an emotional day at Fenway Park because we got to see the knuckleball back at this beautiful ballpark. And, of course, Tim Wakefield starred on the mound with this team for so long and utilizing that knuckleball.
Everything Boston Red Sox. This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Red Sox take it 4-1 against the Padres today. Joe Wild with you here at Fenway Park. Nobody's here, at least in the press box right now. And I just see the big, beautiful tarp out in the field to make sure the field is A-OK. That L.L. Bean tarp, that is magnificent. It really is. And thankfully, we didn't have to bring it out at all today. It looked like this game was going to have to be halted, or maybe we'd have a shortened game just overall because of the rain. But no, we played the full nine, and that was awesome because, you know, it's fun when you get to do that. We had that one game get suspended back on Wednesday, and then there was a lot of time without baseball, and then the Red Sox finally got back at it on Friday. But today, it was fun to see the full nine because we really got to see the whole gamut here from the Sox, offensively hitting a couple home runs. Rafael Devers going deep, Jaron Duran hitting a home run as well, and then the pitching was really good today. The bullpen, the bullpen's been very solid, and it took me looking up the numbers to realize just how good they've been. You know, the bullpen arms, because they really have been steady. You know, this entire season, in a way, I feel like we don't give them their flowers as much as we have at times for the starting rotation, but they're top 10 in so many important categories, like home runs per nine, but more importantly, ERA and FIP, if you're into that. You know, ERA-wise, they're eighth best in the sport, and then FIP, they're third best. And then they've thrown a lot of innings, too. They've thrown the eighth most innings in the sport coming into today's game. And by the way, the numbers I mentioned before, that's prior to today's action. But they've been really good. They also don't walk a lot of guys. They have the best walks per nine rate in the sport. And credit the staff, because no walks at all today from them, right? They only strike out four, and that's part of the Winkowski conversation that, you know, we may be bringing up again, the fact that he tossed five innings and didn't, you know, he only had one strikeout, and that came in the first inning. But he also pitched really well, and I think the key was a lot of weak contact, and the use of the slider was also huge. And he had a chance to catch up with Joe Castiglione, Will Fleming, and Lou Maloney after the game, and here's what he had to say.
Red Sox winning at 4-1. With us is the winning pitcher, Josh Winkowski, who went five shutout innings, and Josh, you really mixed it up well and got the big double play balls. You were really on top of the game today, huh?
Yeah, I was feeling good. You know, feel like I was locating stuff pretty well, mixing it up, like you said, kind of using all five pitches. Really liked the game Reese called back there. He did a great job.
You know, the slider sweeper is breaking more than ever, Josh. And this Padre lineup, I'm sure you were paying close attention after you gave the Red Sox such a lift out of the bullpen the other day. You know, six awesome innings that day to save the bullpen. And here you get to start against this team. You're always confident, but you had to know coming in here that this Padre offense is really in a groove. What was your mindset going into the start?
Yeah, they've definitely got a deep lineup over there. And, you know, we've had some guys throwing the ball exceptional and, you know, had a couple rough days. But yeah, just wanted to come in today and keep the team in it and give them a chance. And yeah, sweeper slider thing, it's been way better. That was kind of the main focus down in AAA, and really excited to see it producing results.
Well, it's always disappointing when a player gets sent down to AAA, but you made the most of it. You must feel that the benefits that you've received, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, it's tough for a few days, but you can either kind of go down there and sulk and not get better, or you can go down there and kind of get with the coaches down there, and they got an excellent group down there, and you can work on some things. You know, even last year, we kind of knew the slider cutter were kind of the same pitch at times, so we were working on it in the off season, kind of found some stuff that clicked down there, and it's been awesome.
You know, Josh, I think you have a really interesting perspective to offer on this group as it is right now, because you were here last year. Now, young players are kind of driving the train. I mean, Raffy, he did it again today, but Duran and Sadon and Willier and all the Hamilton, the young kids are really kind of taking this team by storm. You know, you were here at the beginning, you went down to AAA. Can you tell us, you know, what the feel is, just kind of comparing the first few weeks of the season to what it is now?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're seeing guys kind of catch their stride. I had to do it myself. The game when you can first come up is extremely, extremely difficult, and you can't underestimate how hard it is. You know, even kind of the difference between 22 and 23 for me was kind of just knowing more and kind of being more comfortable in my own skin. So I think you've seen those guys get the necessary reps and are starting to, you know, day-to-day understand what they need to do, and you're seeing them play at a really, really high level. And it was, you know, even being down in AAA, it was really exciting watching this team from afar, and it's even more of a pleasure being back up here.
Well, you went the 6 innings in long relief, last time 5 as a starter today without a run scoring. What do you think about staying in the rotation?
Yeah, obviously haven't had that conversation yet. You know, wherever AC needs me is where, you know, I'll attack it at, you know, whatever that what's best for the team. You know, it was a pleasure kind of helping save the bullpen the other day, and then you know, getting the start today was obviously an honor.
Well, you did it very well, Josh. Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, that's really insightful stuff from Josh Winkowski, and that was great. Great stuff there from our crew talking to him. And I love the honesty, and what's making me a huge Josh Winkowski fan, and we do want to hear from you, by the way. We still have about 30 minutes left in the program. 617-779-7937, the number to call in here for Red Sox Review, as the Sox won it 4-1 today against the San Diego Padres. What I love the most is that here is a pitcher that had a good season last year and, you know, was disappointed he didn't make the rotation. And then on top of that, while he said, you know, I could have sulked about it when I got sent down to Worcester, you know, and maybe the first couple days it was an adjustment going back down there. Instead of continuing to possibly sulk about it, he went to work and he made his arsenal better. And this organization, I mean, I know there's a lot you can get upset about with the Red Sox right now, right? And maybe we'll see how that conversation continues, you know, by the time we hit the trade deadline. I do think you have a very smart infrastructure from a front office perspective, and especially about pitching with Craig Breslow at the top. And then you have somebody here at this level that is as smart as Andrew Bailey is. And to be able to deduce with Winkowski, hey, some of his stuff is a little too similar. That slider cutter mix there. I mixed them both right there, but that mix, right, was just too similar. You know, the pitches were too similar, and that there needed to be a change because the results kind of bore that out, right? Because he was getting hit pretty hard, and the underlying under-the-hood metrics were telling you that, yeah, the ERA looks fine, but there's a lot to be worried about right now. And again, he went down there and went to work and added more horizontal break on that slider, took some miles per hour off of it as well, and Alex Cora said it in his postgame presser as well, the importance of the changeup and actually throwing that pitch for a strike, because, you know, that had been an issue for him this year. Like, coming into this outing, batters hitting 364 against that changeup. It had been a pitch that really had not been useful for him, and it's not one that he threw a ton last year. He threw it about 6% of the time, but hitters were 154 against it. This year, about 14% of the time he threw that pitch, and again, they were hitting 364 against that pitch, and that's now better as well. And it's that difference in velocity that's really key, you know, for a guy like Winkowski, because, you know, if you're throwing 87 with the slider, and, you know, your cutter is only a little bit more than that, and again, they profile as the same pitch, batters aren't having to adjust all that much because it's almost the same thing. So when you're looking horizontally, and then on top of that, from a velocity standpoint, when things are pretty similar, it becomes not as hard to hit. And it's a credit to Winkowski, the fact that he's been able to change his arsenal a little bit here to become a more effective pitcher. And here's a reality, too. He could stick in this rotation, you know, especially here for the month of July, you know, because of where this is at right now. You're at a really tough point with Brian Bello. You're at also a tough point, you know, maybe not in the same way with Nick Pivetta, you know, but they clearly made a decision with sending Cooper Criswell down. And again, it's not as if Cooper Criswell was bad, because he wasn't bad. And I think you still got a pretty good return out of investment out of him for $1 million. But this team clearly realized we can do a little bit better than what he's giving us. And Winkowski, with the work he put down or did in AAA, is now very clearly paying off, at least through the first two starts. And if we're going to just also give you a little bit of a caveat to all this, he did only have one strikeout. And that was the big thing. The swing and misses weren't there, you know, when they sent him down. And it still wasn't quite there today. But at least he got the swing and misses on the pitch that is clearly now the difference maker in a way, which is that slider, because he got three swing and misses on that pitch. So he might be here to stay for this rotation moving forward. And if he can continue to give the Sox an outing like he did today, they're going to be at least in a pretty good spot for that quote-unquote fifth rotation spot. Now, this series coming up, you know, against the Marlins is going to be very interesting, because we'll get more answers about this rotation with the three guys, most specifically, that are going to be pitching in that series, with Cutter Crawford and Brian Bello and Nick Pivetta, and I think those latter two most specifically. And I think the forefront concern right now is Brian Bello, with the way he's struggled and the way he's pitched. You know, in recent games here and his overall ERA, I mean, it'd be hard to believe after the extension that he signed in the offseason that at this point in the year he'd have an ERA of north of 5.5. That has to change. And the body language needs to change and all that stuff for this team to get where they want to go, which is having meaningful games in September and then, you know, actually making the playoffs. Because they're in contention for doing that. Both of those things, where they're at right now. But one thing that led this team to this point was really good starting pitching, and that's fallen off a lot since about mid-May. And now it's time for those things to get back on track, that specific part of this team. And maybe it's an addition at the trade deadline. You know, again, we've talked about it, and you've chimed in about it. And if you want to chime in, 617-779-7937. But that's part of the equation. And it'll be telling if the three starters, you know, specifically with Bello especially, if they struggle against Miami, this team might be in more trouble than we'd realize, because this Miami team is not good. I mean, that's putting it pretty fairly. I would have to say 30-54 is not good. They have a negative 126 run differential as well, and the Marlins are they're as bad can be this year if you're not the Chicago White Sox. or the Oakland A's, who have really fallen off as of late. But they've scored the second most runs, this being the Marlins, in all of Major League Baseball. And so if this isn't a series in which the Sox, from a starting perspective, can take advantage of that, then the rotation at large might be in some trouble, you know, as we approach the trade deadline. And again, you worry about workloads and all that stuff, you know, with all these guys that are still pretty young, because you don't have that quote-unquote, you know, established anchor at the top. Now, I think Tanner Houck is an all-star. I think he's had a remarkable season. I have thoroughly enjoyed watching him pitch this year, outside of his start yesterday, but I think everybody's allowed to have a bad start like Houck did, because he's been that good for this team. The thing that concerns me, though, about him being your quote-unquote ace, and I said this yesterday, is that workload part of it. Now you're banking on this guy to be the top of the line rotation guy the entire year, when he's at this point from an innings perspective that he's about to get to, that's more than he's pitched in his professional career. And that's the downside of having quote-unquote unestablished starters at the beginning of the year and not having that key horse at the top that has been there, done that, and giving you long, you know, a lot of innings throughout a long season. So that's something to watch moving forward. Now, I want to hit on something that is a huge positive for this team before we have to get to our next break here. And again, 617-779-7937, the number to chime in if you'd like to. And before we wrap up the program, I have two things I want to hit on as well, by the way. Matt Waldron had a chance to speak after this game about Tim Wakefield, and if you didn't get a chance to catch up on that story, so Matt Waldron, he was a starter today and a knuckleball pitcher, and he got some great expertise from Tim Wakefield back when he was in A-ball within this Padres organization. Tim Wakefield was kind enough to do a Zoom call with him and talk to him for about 2 hours about pitching with the knuckleball, and then was a guy that followed up with him as well, this being Waldron. Wakefield following up with Waldron, watching his starts, giving him some feedback and all that stuff, and had a huge impact on Matt Waldron's life now as a knuckleballer here in the major leagues. And before this started, by the way, had done really well. And it's a testament to the Red Sox offense that they were able to bounce back today when in his last eight starts he had a 1.80 ERA. But that, to me, and that story is kind of doesn't and encapsulates what makes Tim Wakefield just so special as a human being. And we're going to hit on that again before we duck out here for Red Sox Review. And then I have one Xander Bogaerts comment as well because it was interesting what he did after the game. And I'll tease you with that before we go back to the phone lines here, as we have Dan from Dover who wants to chime in about this upcoming series that the Red Sox will play. So, Dan, the floor is yours. Thanks for joining us on Red Sox Review.
Yeah, good afternoon. How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, so with the upcoming series, you know, things like teams like the Marlins scare me because the Red Sox, they tend to play down to their competition, but they also play up to their competition. You know, I think back to the Philly series and the Yankee series where they were back-to-back, and I believe they took two out of three out of both series. So, you know, a series with the Marlins does scare me. So I don't know if you kind of felt the same way or like to, you know, hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, and appreciate the call. So it's an interesting take there because, and I'll explain why in a second. So that's interesting to me because the Red Sox this year compared to last year, they've actually taken care of teams that are below 500. So if you include today's game, the Sox are 18-28 now against teams above 500, and that is true. Now, Dan brought up the series against the Yankees and Phillies, and those were so key for this season at large, right? And I was hitting on it with postgame shows last week. That was such a pivotal time period in this season because they could have gone south because they were below 500 in that middle match of the series against the Phillies, and then they bounce back and win that game, and then they end up having a 4-2 homestand against, at that time, the two best teams in Major League Baseball. I actually do think this year's team has done a good job of not playing down to their competition. And that stat that I just rattled off, that they're 18-28, you know, against teams that are above 500, you do the math on it, against teams below 500, they're actually 26-11. So they have taken care of those bad teams for the most part this season. So I actually do feel pretty good about this team going into that Marlins series. And I actually feel pretty good about this team going against the Yankees as well, because the Yankees are record-wise a better team. But I think what helps the Red Sox is that they have such an advantage in their dugout from a managerial perspective with Alex Cora. And then on top of that, as we found out about this Yankees team when they came to town, they are so top-heavy. Now, Juan Soto didn't play again today, and who knows, maybe he won't even be available for that series. Yes, Aaron Judge is incredible, and he's actually right now in line for the Triple Crown. He leads Major League Baseball in average home runs and RBIs. But outside of him, there's not a ton there, at least from what they've shown consistently this year. So I actually do feel good about both these series coming up for the Red Sox on the road. But they have to get the job done. I mean, that's the key thing. And hopefully they don't revert back to that season or that team, you know, last year that didn't do well against teams below 500. So we'll see. But it's something obviously we have to monitor and they need to take care of business against the bad teams. They're not in a position to not do that with them trying to fight for a wild card spot. What I did want to hit on right before we go to our next break here is Rafael Devers, who hits his fourth home run in his last five games, five home runs now into the monster seats, and he's now hit 18 home runs overall this year, eight of which to the opposite field. And the numbers for him to the opposite field coming into today are absolutely remarkable. He's got a slugging percentage over 1,100, right? Or 1.1. He's got an OPS over 1,600 going the opposite way. And now he's got eight home runs hitting it that direction. And as these guys have talked about a ton with Devers, when he's going that way, that's how you know he's in a groove. And so he now has 600 career RBIs. The most RBIs in Red Sox history at the age of 27 or younger. It's Jim Rice at the top, and then Ted Williams in the number two position. Devers is in that number four spot ahead of Carl Yastrzemski. This is an all-time Red Sox talent that we are getting to watch. And sometimes, and I'll include myself in this, I feel like we take him a little bit for granted because the offensive part of it is so the norm at this point with Devers. And he's putting up his best season of his career. And that's the fun part of the conversation this year, is that I don't think among all the questions that you could have, the amount of money that the Red Sox spent on Devers to extend him, that's a good deal. You make that deal 10 times out of 10, at least in my mind. And yes, defensively at third base, he's never going to be Brooks Robinson. He's never going to be Matt Chapman or Nolan Arenado. But he is an elite of elite hitter, and that's why you sign up for somebody like that long term. He's got the best on-base percentage of his career right now. Best slugging percentage. Average-wise, not the best, but again, he ends up hitting a home run today. He ends up going 2-for-4 and smoking a couple balls as well. That on-base percentage part of it, to me, is key. That his walk rate is above 10% for the first time in his career. And actually, coming into today, it was at 11.7. His best before that was last year at 9.5. This is in his prime hitter, hitting the cover off the ball in an era where hitting is so difficult and you have this guy locked up long term. Embrace it. Enjoy it. Because he still has so much of his career left. He's only 27. Remember that part too. He's only 27, and if he can stay healthy, he's going to have his best year of his career. And he's a part of a 4-1 win for the Red Sox today. Against the San Diego Padres, Joe Weil with you. We're going to wrap things up on Red Sox Review right after this on WEEI.
We're back to Red Sox Review on WEEI.
All right, back here on Red Sox Review, Joe Weil at Fenway Park as we wrap things up. And the Red Sox, a 4-1 winner today against the San Diego Padres. Wanted to hit on a couple things before we have to duck out here, and we will be playing Sunday Night Baseball coming up here on WEEI. But I wanted to hit on two different Padres-related things that are intertwined with the Red Sox. The first of which, Matt Waldron, and it was an emotional day at Fenway Park because we got to see the knuckleball back at this beautiful ballpark. And, of course, Tim Wakefield starred on the mound with this team for so long and utilizing that knuckleball. And we can remember so many summer nights where that pitch fluttered in from him. And, of course, he was a guy that won so many games with the Red Sox as well. But Matt Waldron actually has knew Tim Wakefield pretty well, and their two careers are going to be forever intertwined because Tim Wakefield took the time to chat with Matt Waldron when he was a prospect in the Padres system. Now, the story actually goes even further back in Matt Waldron's life as it's related to Tim Wakefield. So he grew up in Omaha, Nebraska, and he was pretty mesmerized by the knuckleball and in awe of Tim Wakefield. And they learned the nuances of the pitch while playing as Tim Wakefield in a video game, and they marveled at it. They came to an agreement that, hey, listen, we can't use this pitch in this video game because it's not fair. And then he ends up becoming a prospect in this system. He actually got traded over to the Padres from the Guardians organization. He first got drafted by Cleveland in the 18th round in 2019, then got traded in the Mike Clevinger deal. And anyway, he's kind of struggling in the system, and then the Padres, they knew he was kind of fooling around with this knuckleball pitch, which he, again, wanted to learn because he was inspired by Tim Wakefield, and then he ends up really harnessing it, and in part because he had a Zoom conversation with Tim Wakefield, you know, about how to throw that pitch better. It was in 2021, and Matt Waldron learned so much from that. Tim Wakefield ended up following his career, too, as he progressed through the system, checked in on him, this being Matt Waldron. And, you know, in Matt Waldron, he so badly wanted to make a start here because of the impact Tim Wakefield had on him. And, you know, he was emotional the day that he found out, which we all found out, Tim Wakefield passed away on the final day of the regular season last year. And Matt Waldron got to take them out here at Fenway Park. And for the first time since 2019, when Stephen Wright was pitching for the Red Sox, we actually got to see a knuckleball here at Fenway Park, and we got to reminisce more about Tim Wakefield, and you felt his presence here with Matt Waldron on the mound, and so did Matt Waldron when he pitched, and he spoke about that after the game.
I know that Wakefield's towed that rubber, and it was you could feel it, but yeah, it was tough.
Did you take a moment to appreciate that while you're out there?
Yeah, but at the end of the day, I got to get a job done, so, and that just didn't happen.
Were you approached by anybody pregame who yelled something out or said something that conjured Tim Wakefield in some fashion?
No, I think just the pitch in general was admired and it got the respect it deserved, so.
Yeah, and then, so that's Matt Waldron. You can hear it. You can hear him there. He's very emotional, you know, talking about Tim Wakefield. And, you know, that's how you feel about people that have made a real impact on your life. And that's the case for this people in this region with Tim Wakefield, not only for what he did on the mound, but off the mound. And, you know, that type of person that he was, the fact that he took some time to talk to somebody he didn't know that was, you know, just a pitcher in A-ball. And that was the thing about knuckleballers in general. It's just a fraternity of people. It's a small fraternity, and Matt Waldron's the only guy in the big leagues that throws it. And, again, he ends up getting hit hard. He spoke about it that right there. But, you know, at the same time, it was a start he'd always wanted to make at Fenway to honor Tim Wakefield again for what he ultimately provided for his career. And it was really cool to see that pitch back here at Fenway Park. One more thing I wanted to hit on, by the way, before we went to we duck out. You know, speaking of the emotions here at Fenway Park, very interesting picture put out by Pete Abraham of the Globe of Xander Bogaerts. It's him at the end of the game. He stayed in the dugout alone as the Red Sox shook hands on the field after they won today 4-1, and he tipped his cap to Alex Cora and Rafael Devers, and it's just a picture of him just looking on at this team. And it does make you think about what could have happened if the Red Sox did ultimately re-sign him. And it might be something from a production standpoint based on how much money he would have cost the Red Sox, and especially this deal he signed with the Padres, 11 years, $280 million. Maybe they got out at the right time. But this game is not played just on a spreadsheet. It's one that stays in our hearts, stays in our mind forever. And I know there were a lot of people just happy to see Xander Bogaerts back. And even if he has dropped off it as a player, you know, still wondering, what could have been? Could he have been a Red Sox forever? What if he was? Maybe his number's out there in right field just like the rest of the retired numbers. And now it becomes a what-if game. And I wonder for Bogaerts, in a way, if it's a what-if game for him as well in his mind. Red Sox win 4-1 today against the Padres. I want to thank Zach Coe. Great work back at WEI. I'm Joe Weil here from Fenway Park saying so long. Thanks for listening to Red Sox Review.
We're back to Red Sox Review on WEEI.
All right, back here on Red Sox Review, Joe Weil at Fenway Park as we wrap things up. And the Red Sox, a 4-1 winner today against the San Diego Padres. Wanted to hit on a couple things before we have to duck out here, and we will be playing Sunday Night Baseball coming up here on WEI. But I wanted to hit on two different Padres-related things that are intertwined with the Red Sox. The first of which, Matt Waldron, and it was an emotional day at Fenway Park because we got to see the knuckleball back at this beautiful ballpark. And, of course, Tim Wakefield starred on the mound with this team for so long and utilizing that knuckleball. And we can remember so many summer nights where that pitch fluttered in from him. And, of course, he was a guy that won so many games with the Red Sox as well. But Matt Waldron actually has knew Tim Wakefield pretty well, and their two careers are going to be forever intertwined because Tim Wakefield took the time to chat with Matt Waldron when he was a prospect in the Padres system. Now, the story actually goes even further back in Matt Waldron's life as it's related to Tim Wakefield. So he grew up in Omaha, Nebraska, and he was pretty mesmerized by the knuckleball and in awe of Tim Wakefield. And they learned the nuances of the pitch while playing as Tim Wakefield in a video game, and they marveled at it. They came to an agreement that, hey, listen, we can't use this pitch in this video game because it's not fair. And then he ends up becoming a prospect in this system. He actually got traded over to the Padres from the Guardians organization. He first got drafted by Cleveland in the 18th round in 2019, then got traded in the Mike Clevinger deal. And anyway, he you know, he's kind of struggling in the system. And then the Padres, they knew he was kind of fooling around with this knuckleball pitch, which he, again, wanted to learn because he was inspired by Tim Wakefield. And then he ends up really harnessing it, and in part because he had a Zoom conversation with Tim Wakefield, you know, about how to throw that pitch better. It was in 2021, and Matt Waldron learned so much from that. Tim Wakefield ended up following his career, too, as he progressed through the system, checked in on him, this being Matt Waldron. And, you know, in Matt Waldron, he's so badly wanted to make a start here because of the impact Tim Wakefield had on him. And, you know, he was emotional the day that he found out, which we all found out, Tim Wakefield passed away on the final day of the regular season last year. And Matt Waldron got to take them out here at Fenway Park. And for the first time since 2019, when Stephen Wright was pitching for the Red Sox, we actually got to see a knuckleball here at Fenway Park, and we got to reminisce more about Tim Wakefield, and you felt his presence here with Matt Waldron on the mound, and so did Matt Waldron when he pitched, and he spoke about that after the game.
I know that Wakefield's towed that rubber, and it was you could feel it, but yeah, it was tough.
Did you take a moment to appreciate that while you're out there?
Yeah, but at the end of the day, I got to get a job done, so, and that just didn't happen.
Were you approached by anybody pregame who yelled something out or said something that conjured Tim Wakefield in some fashion?
No, I think just the pitch in general was admired, and it got the respect it deserved, so.
Yeah, man, so that's Matt Waldron. You can hear it. You can hear him there. He's very emotional, you know, talking about Tim Wakefield. And, you know, that's how you feel about people that have made a real impact on your life. And that's the case for this people in this region with Tim Wakefield, not only for what he did on the mound, but off the mound. And, you know, that type of person that he was, the fact that he took some time to talk to somebody he didn't know that was, you know, just a pitcher in A-ball. And that was the thing about knuckleballers in general. It's just a fraternity of people. It's a small fraternity, and Matt Waldron's the only guy in the big leagues that throws it. And, again, he ends up getting hit hard. He spoke about it, that right there. But, you know, at the same time, it was a start he'd always wanted to make at Fenway to honor Tim Wakefield again for what he ultimately provided for his career. And it was really cool to see that pitch back here at Fenway Park. One more thing I wanted to hit on, by the way, before we went to we duck out. You know, speaking of the emotions here at Fenway Park, very interesting picture put out by Pete Abraham of the Globe of Xander Bogaerts. It's him at the end of the game. He stayed in the dugout alone as the Red Sox shook hands on the field after they won today 4-1, and he tipped his cap to Alex Cora and Rafael Devers, and it's just a picture of him just looking on at this team. And it does make you think about what could have happened if the Red Sox did ultimately re-sign him. And it might be something from a production standpoint based on how much money he would have cost the Red Sox, and especially this deal he signed with the Padres, 11 years, $280 million. Maybe they got out at the right time. But this game is not played just on a spreadsheet. It's one that stays in our hearts, stays in our mind forever. And I know there were a lot of people just happy to see Xander Bogaerts back. And even if he has dropped off it as a player, you know, still wondering, what could have been? Could he have been a Red Sox forever? What if he was? Maybe his number's out there in right field just like the rest of the retired numbers. And now it becomes a what-if game. And I wonder for Bogaerts, in a way, if it's a what-if game for him as well in his mind. Red Sox win 4-1 today against the Padres. I want to thank Zach Coe. Great work back at WEI. I'm Joe Weil here from Fenway Park saying so long. Thanks for listening to Red Sox Review.